You are now listening to the Sports Life Talk podcast, hosted by Kevin Thomas and Serge Vasudevic, where life without sports is just talk, on blogtalkradio.com.
This is episode one of Sports Life Talk. I'm KT, Kevin Thomas with
Serge Vasudevic.
Hey man, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's early in the morning.
It sure is. Wouldn't love to do anything else on a Sunday morning.
So. I'm with you on the episode. I watch football. So you know we gotta get in and get out.
Exactly. You're right on that.
All right, before we get started, man, the one question that comes up all the time is, why should we listen to your podcast? And I'm gonna let you answer that for the people.
I just feel like that with the background of what we've talked about and how we discuss sports, and not just looking at what people talk about on whether it's ESPN or Fox or things like that, I think going in depth into more of the life of the athlete, and I think really discussing and diving in deeper, so not just looking at the context of what you see on television, but then also looking at the background, the history, for the team, for the franchise, for the player, and then just really diving in and connecting a lot of life situations and things that also happen off the field, off the court, depending on obviously the situation as well. And just really elaborating on why things are done the way they are, and sometimes things aren't just as you see.
Now, I know the one thing that we both talked about was we do not want to talk about politics on our show.
Yes, nor religion.
And why is that? Why do we say that, Serge?
I think it can easily be a turnoff. I think it's a controversial topic because there is no end in sight. Both of those topics are where, regardless if you're for or against, it's a debate that could never have an end result. And both parties on both sides can keep going and keep going. As opposed to just sports, you can really just simplify it. And just get to the root of it, and because it's something that's there for us to be distracted with, and it shouldn't have to affect our daily life like politics and religion does with work and any other things that you do in your life. There's a lot of things that are dictated by religion and politics in this country.
Yeah, and I want to just chime in and say, you know, with politics, once you have a debate, people are angry.
Right.
Because we're coming from different sides, different, like, cultures, pretty much. And
Absolutely.
With sports, you can debate, but it's a fun debate.
Absolutely.
It can be a fun debate as long as you don't take it to heart. That's one of the things that we said, too. So tell me your favorite sports teams, man.
Favorite sports teams, NFL. I've been a Colts fan since about 98. I am a Mavs fan. Locally, obviously, being here in Dallas for a long time. Baseball, Rangers, Red Sox, and then as far as any other sports, college basketball, I'm a big North Carolina fan. College football, Texas, you know, Florida State. but more importantly than any of that, even though I have favorite teams, obviously teams that I root for, I'm just a fan of the games. I'm almost more than willing to watch almost any game that's on television that has some kind of significance to it, or especially that has prominent athletes that are playing in it. Regardless if it's a team that I root for or not, I'm still going to watch it. If there's greatness out there on the field or on the court and whatnot, I'm all for it, and I definitely want to be a part of it.
And a lot of people don't know that you're from South India. So when you moved here, you moved to Texas first?
Yes, I moved straight to Texas when I was 11 years old.
So how did you become an Indianapolis Colts fan?
I became a Colts fan. Man, this is the question that a lot of my, obviously 99% of my friends that live here in Dallas are all Cowboys fans and diehard.
And you're looking at one right now,
yeah,
so I got to ask you that, man.
So when I first came here, I came in November of 95, and I do remember watching the first granted, I didn't even really know what football was. I do remember my cousins that, you know, what we were living with at the time, watching, obviously, looks like a sporting event on television, and it turned out kind of, you know, the AFC Championship game between the Colts and the Steelers is what I watched. And I remember a team in white with blue, you know, I guess at the very end, throwing a Hail Mary that didn't work out. And then the Steelers won, obviously went on to play the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, and the Cowboys, you know, beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl. And obviously, as everybody knows, the Cowboys haven't done anything since.
Yeah, since it's been a long drought, man. You have to bring it up. Kind of like you threw that in my face.
No, it's
a little
okay.
Solid, man. I got you.
But I think more so than that, once I really started learning and understanding what football was, because obviously my cousins always had the Cowboys game on television. But once, obviously, we started, you know, living in our own house, and I think I just remember, you know, Peyton Manning came into the league, and a lot of the AFC games are on NBC at the time before even they started going to CBS. And Peyton Manning just was somebody that I know, obviously, you know, coming from Tennessee, there was just a lot of hype about him and things like that. And, you know, when you see somebody on television a lot, it's easy to just start getting attracted to them, especially when you're a young age, when you don't really know too much of the context of how what goes into all of this. So it just kind of picked up from there. And obviously, you know, once Peyton Manning came to the Colts, you know, we're a really good team. So you could say I was kind of a bandwagoner at the time. But if I'm 13, 14, 15 years old, I don't know anything less. So then it kind of just stuck with it. Obviously, there's been a lot of heartaches playing the Patriots because Tom Brady was on the other side almost every time we went at the playoffs. And, you know, we had 14-2, 13-3, 12-4 records almost every single year. But, you know, running into it against that team, except one time we beat them, went to the Super Bowl, and, you know, we won the Super Bowl and beat the Bears. But, you know, so that's the only thing we really have. But, hey, one Super Bowl more than zero.
All right, before we move on and I ask you about you're coming from South India in sports.
Yes.
I want to tell everybody about my teams. I grew up in Dallas. I'm from Oak Cliff. I went to all the Dallas schools. Well, not all of them, but you get what I'm saying. I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan, Dallas Cowboys fan, Texas Rangers. And this one will probably throw people off because I'm a Florida Gators fan.
Okay.
And when I was growing up, it was either you liked the Miami Hurricanes or the Florida State Seminoles.
Right.
So I wanted to be a little different. So when I watched the game one day, just like you, I saw the Florida Gators playing. I couldn't tell you who they were playing. The blue just stood out to me.
Yeah.
I'm not in the gang or anything either, people, but the blue stood out to me. That was my favorite color. And I've been rolling with them since the late 80s.
Okay.
So I'm kind of telling you my age right there, and that's as far as that's going to go. So you're from South India. So
yes.
how are sports viewed there?
So in India, cricket is the number one sport. I mean, it is.
Every now and then, ESPN puts it on their top 10.
Right, I mean, it's like a mix of what college football and NFL is here put together. That's how crazy it is. Obviously, the number of people that live there are almost quadruple of what's here. So
are you a cricket player?
I mean, I played, you know, with friends when I was a kid. We tried to play a little bit here and there back in, I don't know, about 12 years ago with some friends as well. There's a couple of fields out here in Irving and stuff like that. So, no, do I, you know, follow it religiously? No. I mean, I do actually have the channel on my cable. And so, actually, there's actually a match that was being played last night, which I didn't get to catch the score, but I know India was playing Sri Lanka. So I do try to watch. If I don't actually get to watch the game, then I'll at least try to watch the highlights and stuff like that. But, I mean, cricket is number one, and everything else comes secondary. There is no hockey. There is no baseball. There is no football. Obviously, we do have soccer, which is called football over there, like it is in all the other European countries. Basketball,
I know. So is it an actual league as far as cricket? It's a league?
Yes.
So what is the most popular team?
Well, so it breaks down to the country actually has their own national team. And that national team is the one that's always playing. But between when they do, they have – over the last decade or so, they started other actual leagues where they break down the teams from, so it's like they do like a draft, and then they'll pick players from the Indian national team, but then they're also able to pick teams from Australia, New England, New Zealand, and England, all the prominent teams that are actually out there all over the world that are prominent cricket teams like Pakistan. So I think that league is what's even elevated cricket to a whole nother level, because now when you're rooting for teams, you're not just rooting for people that are from India. You're actually rooting for people that are from all parts of the world that play cricket, and they're really, really good players. So it's really elevated the game. Basketball also, and the NBA has done a super, super good job about doing the whole Basketball Without Our Borders program, and doing a lot of training and camps and stuff like that in India over the last decade or so as well. So basketball is actually something that's really, really coming up. Now, you probably won't see an Indian national team, say, play in the Olympics or anything like that. But, you know, I think it's just great for the game that it's evolving. I've even heard they're actually even trying to put some actually American football out there as well, like teaching some kids. You know, I don't know if it'll ever be anything that will be picked up, because pretty much from the age of like five, most kids are turned to cricket, and that just kind of becomes a part of life, because you can play it anywhere.
Yeah, so I guess you give us some cricket updates, right?
Yes, okay. I will do that.
I will let you do that.
All right.
Let's move on to our college playoff. And the four teams we have are Clemson versus Alabama and Oklahoma versus Georgia. My question to you, Serge, is did Alabama deserve to get in?
You know, at first, once I saw the SEC championship game, and then I saw, obviously, Ohio State win, I really was thinking that Ohio State would make it, but then I really looked on it and saw that, you know, with the losses that Ohio State had versus the loss that, you know, Alabama had. And the only reason, obviously, people are more upset is because, and I think we talked about this before, is that Alabama's loss was a lot more recent. It was something that just happened, so it's kind of new to people. You know, and we obviously live in a world of, you know, what have you done for me lately? And obviously, I just think that it's really hard to put a two loss team in the playoff. It's never been done before. And, you know, at the end of the day.
Let me cut you off there. Uh-huh. So if you look at Ohio State's resume, mm-hmm. would you say it was better than Alabama's?
Overall, yes.
So the conference champion, Ohio State, they did everything they needed to do, mm-hmm. and they still couldn't get in. So mm-hmm. does that make the conference championship pointless, or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it makes it pointless, because I think obviously winning that game, even if you don't end up going to one of the main bowl games, your school still gets to go to another one of the prominent bowl games that's not part of the national championship series. But I think what this does do is – obviously, every year, you know, we're going to obviously have some kind of a team that's like feels like they're left out or whatever. But I think, you know, probably more so than ever before this year, you know, it took a long time to even get to the point of having a 14 playoff. I think what this does is it starts the conversation of, hey, can we ever get down to a point of having an 18 playoff? Because and even then, you're going to have people that, oh, we didn't make, we're ninth, why weren't we eighth, you know?
So. Well, I think this year would have been a perfect year for that if you leave Alabama out.
Yeah.
Now you have really, well, to answer my own question, I think they did get the four best teams right.
Yes.
The only thing is Alabama lost their last game. We remember them losing.
Right.
So it's hard for me to say, okay, yeah, Alabama shouldn't be in, but Ohio State did everything they needed to do. They played a lot of top 25 teams, mm-hmm. and I felt like they should have gotten in just so we can get the 18 playoff.
Yeah, yeah, you're
so
right.
That kind of messed me up, but I am looking forward to the game. So who do you have winning Clemson versus Alabama this year?
I personally feel that Alabama will actually beat Clemson. I feel like if Deshaun Watson was still there, they probably – wouldn't have been able to, just because of how he played, even the time that they, you know, he actually lost them. I mean, he put up ridiculous numbers. I mean, they didn't lose because of him. But I just think that Alabama probably also wants to, you know, prove all the people that, like, why did we make it? Well, this is why we made it. You know, Nick Saban is obviously, you know, one of the greatest coaches ever. And I just think that they just have too much talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think it'll be a very close game. I know Clemson puts up a lot of points, but I think, you know, it'll be a very close game, and it'll be fun to watch. And I think Alabama probably, you know, win by a field goal or two.
So do you think Alabama needs to win this game more than Clemson needs to win? Just with everything being said?
Yes, absolutely. I do.
So what about Oklahoma versus Georgia? Who do you have there?
Ooh, man. This one is honestly a toss-up. I've been going back and forth. I think just with the momentum, and obviously, you know, Baker Mayfield won the Heisman last night. I think that, along with just the way that I've actually seen a lot more of their game than I have seen Georgia's game. So, you know, I might be a little, I don't want to say biased, but leaning towards just because of what I've been seeing on the field. But, and also, you know, Georgia, you know, losing to, you know, having the loss that they had.
To Auburn.
Yeah. And I just think that overall, it just seems like it's Oklahoma's year, having the Heisman on your team.
Well, you mentioned Heisman, Baker Mayfield won that last year.
Last night,
yeah. Excuse me. But the Heisman has not been kind when it comes to the playoffs.
True, very true. But I think he just has something, an it factor about him. You know, kind of like, you know, not exactly similar, but in a way, I guess you could look at it kind of like a Tim Tebow effect. I just feel like he has that on his team. The way he leads his guys, even with all the controversy of, you know, him grabbing his jock or whatever a couple of weeks ago, but
my thing is, when people were criticizing him, that's a form of passion.
Yeah,
I mean, did it go overboard, the crotch grabbing? Yes, but why don't you want a guy that's fiery?
Oh yeah, I do.
I mean, Tom Brady does it.
Hey, exactly. I'm all for guys who are willing to do all of that because it shows that you're pretty much willing to do whatever it takes to win the game, and you're going to make sure that you're also psychologically trying to put a little bit of fear in the other team too. And you probably don't look at it like that. Just, you know, the whole getting up in your face and having an angry look on your face and things like that. I think it just to make sure that, like, hey, you guys, when you put your defense out there, I'm going to shred you guys. And that's the mentality that he has, and he's been proven it all season, actually all his career.
Yeah. See, I think I'm going to go Clemson versus Oklahoma. And the one reason is I did say I was a Florida Gators fan. So I'd be damned by a root for Alabama or Georgia after the whooping they put on us.
Gotcha.
So we're going to move on to the NBA. So who is your leading MVP so far?
Man, this one is really difficult. As much as I want to say, just because he's playing out of his mind and he's in his 15th year, which is LeBron, I have to give it to the guy who has the best record in the league. I have to give it to the guy who's leading, you know, points per game, leading an assist in the league, you know, just making his team better. Even with Chris Paul being added to the Rockets, I just feel like as of this present moment, I would say I would lean to, if I had a vote, I would vote for James Harden.
Really?
And I'm really not a big fan. I mean, obviously, he's a super talented guy. I'm not really a big fan. Obviously, I don't like the Rockets, but I'm a Mavs fan. But
thank you. Yeah, we did.
But at the end of the day, I call it like it is. I give respect where it's due. Just because I'm more of a LeBron fan than a James Harden fan, I'm still going to say that James Harden is currently. But, you know, there's LeBron. I think Kyrie, who's my favorite player in the NBA. You know, maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm glad you pronounced that last name. I'm just going to say the Greek freak.
Oh, yeah. So I think, you know, we're about, you know, a little over the quarter of the season in. And I do have to still give credit, like I was mentioning, LeBron. I just think that to do what he's doing in his 15th year. I mean, I watched both of their games last night. He put up a triple-double on a back-to-back night, 30, 13, and 13. And then watching James Harden go off for 48 points against the Blazers. I mean, and in the
but did you
quarter,
see how easy it looked for James Harden?
It's
almost comical.
Yeah, he's playing street ball in the NBA, pretty much. And all he has is, you're not going to double team me because all the other four guys on the team can shoot threes. So pick your poison. Right. Me, I would double team and make those other guys beat me.
That's a smart thing to do. That's just basketball.
Right.
Okay, so you said James Harden.
Yeah.
That's who you're going with?
Yes.
Well, we know we can give it to LeBron James every year because that man, he's a stat stuffer. And like he said last night, that it's not about him getting points. It's just about getting open the man the ball, and he can affect the game in other ways.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to go a different route. You mentioned Kyrie Irving. mm-hmm. LeBron James, ex, you know, teammate.
Yeah, yes, yes.
If you take him off that Boston team right now, where are they at without Gordon Haywood or Isaiah Thomas?
They would probably be, you know, bottom five in the East. I just think that their system, Brad Stevens, is a ridiculously great coach. And you could tell because, you know, I was like, oh, Gordon Hayward went out. And I didn't, obviously, I knew they were going to still make the playoffs, but I didn't think they were going to win 16 in a row and things like that. But it's because, I mean, they do have, obviously, talent. I mean, they do have what NBA is all about right now, long guys who can play multiple positions on the court at the same time. You can switch pick and rolls on defense. So you have Jason Tatum, who's number one in the league in three-point shooting percentage. You have Jaylen Brown, who last year as a rookie, you know, top five pick, and he got a lot of playing time, got to go to the playoffs. So he's already coming in with that experience. And because Gordon Hayward actually getting hurt, it's actually giving those guys more playing time than they were even anticipating. And, you know, a gritty guy like Marcus Smart, you know, it's like he's one of those guys you hate playing against, but you want him on your team because he's going to be diving on the floor. You know, he plays good hard-nosed defense. And, you know, they just have – and Al Horford is like a perfect big for this era because he can stretch the floor. He can dribble the ball. He can play defense. And, you know, you don't need to be 7 feet, 2 inches to be able to play center in the league right now. So,
but see, I'm going Kyrie because, you see, he has a real coach now. Oh, Brad Stevens is a real coach. It's not LeBron James calling the shots and Tyronn Lue. Yeah. Is he a good coach? I could be a great coach with LeBron James. So, yeah. But I won't take anything away from the man.
Yeah.
But Kyrie.
Well, Mike Brown, too, went back at the Cavs.
There you go.
It's the same thing.
So you give Kyrie – Brad Stevens, with that talent, the best ball handles ever.
Oh,
people are saying that Steph Curry. No, it's Kyrie. No. Steph is up there.
Right.
Now, the best shooter of all time?
Steph Curry.
Hands down, Steph Curry. But Kyrie, the way he's leading that team, he's playing. He's a true point guard. Mm-hmm. He's playing both ends of the floor, something he didn't do in Cleveland.
Absolutely.
And look at their record. I think they're, 22-4? That was the last time I checked, and I know they played.
Yep.
And you're missing Gordon Haywood.
I think they lost their fifth game because they lost to the Spurs on Friday.
Yeah, they just lost to the Spurs. But did you see what he did in that game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, trust me. I try to watch almost any game that's on. You know, I have NBA League Pass, so I try to watch any game.
Oh, you do, right? I need to come up to your house. Because I have ESPN.
Yeah, no, I try to watch every game that he plays, LeBron plays. I mean, if there's greatness playing, even Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, even though they're struggling a little bit and stuff like that, they'll get it together. But I just like watching all these great – I mean, the NBA is in a – great position right now with so much talent in the league. I feel like than ever before. So
what team do you think can really challenge the Golden State Warriors?
I think Cleveland, obviously, and I think an outside, Houston. I think the addition of Chris Paul and James Harden is, you know, unbelievably actually better than he was last year. And then, you know, they picked up PJ Tucker. Just key guys that you can actually put out there that can do multiple things. Because you can't just be able to shoot threes, but you can also play defense. And it's kind of what they call 3-and-D guys. And I think you can never, ever, ever, ever count out the San Antonio Spurs. From Greg Popovich to still having Parker on there. Aldridge playing really well. Kawhi Leonard's about to come back next week. I think they're always going to be right in the mix because, I mean, shoot, they were up. 25 points in game one in the Western Conference Finals until Kawhi Leonard got hurt. So do I think that they would have beat the Warriors? Probably not, but it would have probably went 7. And yes. I would have liked to see that happen. But, Pachulia got away with that.
Yeah, I only see 3 teams that can really contest them, and that's Cleveland for one, but I don't think Cleveland can beat them. San Antonio, just because of Coach Pop. That I think he's the best coach ever in basketball. A lot of people say Phil Jackson. Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue with 11 rings.
What, you got but Michael Jordan.
Yes, you got Michael Jordan, you got Kobe, Shaq, Scottie Pippen,
four
of the top 50 players of all time.
Yeah,
so we'll debate that one day, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the team I really think that can beat them is OKC.
Yeah, I think so too.
What you have to do, you have to dirty up the game against Golden State.
Absolutely.
You can't just try to play their game because they're going to be better at you because they have the best shooters. Look at their top 3 shooters. Kevin Durant, Curry. Thompson, two of the best shooters of all time, and you throw Durant in, that's three.
Three of the top 15, 20 shooters of all time.
And Draymond Green can shoot, too.
Right.
You got Nick Young. That team, it's just ridiculous.
It is.
It kind of pissing me off talking about them right now. So you know what I want to do? I want to move on to another subject. All right, we got LaVar Ball. Do you agree with his decision to pull his kids out of school and out of college?
You know, this is a very touchy topic just because, first and foremost, like, I myself, you know, don't have any kids. But obviously, I do plan on having kids. And I think it's really hard to say if it's the right thing to do by viewing somebody else and see what they're doing with their kids, because I would never tell anybody else how to raise their kids. But if I'm looking at it from the outside looking in and just being honest about it, I don't like the fact that he's pulled him out. And obviously he has his own reason for doing it. And I know I pray that everything works out.
And not only did he pull him out, they have agents already.
Right. Which means you can't play in college now.
Yes.
So you're ineligible to ever, you know, play in college. My thing is what he's preventing his kids to do is live the life of a normal 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old life. You know, the whole college experience, and even, obviously for the younger one, going through even junior and senior year in high school. And, you know, and it's not just about, like, you know, going to the prom and things like that. It's just the camaraderie and, like, the friendship that you build. Yeah, even though you're kind of known as a celebrity, it's just, you know, his closest friends, I'm sure, like, always would rather prefer to be around him because, you know, their internal jokes and their kind of conversations that they have on a regular basis. Now, all of a sudden, he's just not there. Well, why is he not there? It's not because he got in trouble. It's because, well, his dad wants their family and their brand to be on another level. Well, he feels like this is the best thing for them to do is go overseas and try to play overseas, gain more experience. And then when the eligibility happens for their appropriate age to be able to enter the draft and then get drafted, and he thinks that he's going to try to figure out a way to get them all on the Lakers, which if that happens, then, you know, collusion. I don't know.
Well, he wants it to happen. Lonzo has to play a lot better if they want
before
that.
He gets traded.
But the thing is, the middle kid, what's his name?
LiAngelo.
He's not even that good.
No.
So out of those three kids, he's the one that probably wouldn't have made it anyway. Yeah. So he'll probably benefit from going to play tight end or something in the NFL.
Yeah.
But as a father, you know I have two kids, 9 and 4.
Yes.
The one thing that I want from them is to enjoy their life.
Yes.
It's not my job to dictate every aspect of their life, especially when it comes to sports.
Right.
That's something they need to do. I want them to have their own voice. I don't want to be the one out there, hey, my kid is good. Luke Walton, you need to start him in the fourth quarter, blase, blase, because you're not the coach.
Right, exactly.
It's just, I love the fact that he's in his son's life,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't have that. Right. I think you said the same thing,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
My father wasn't there.
Right.
So the fact that he's doing that, trying to do the big baller brand, which was brilliant.
Absolutely.
The way he went about it wasn't as smart as it should have been, but he's trying to build it.
I can't hate on the hustle.
Yeah, he's trying to build a legacy for his family where they don't have to depend on other people. So
right.
I get all of that. But it comes a time as a father, you have to step back.
Yeah.
You got to let your sons grow. Let them make their own mistakes. Fight their own battles.
Right.
And it seems like he wants to fight their battles. And it's all about him.
Right.
So when that happens, that just...
Yeah, because he probably obviously wants to get the credit for, like, hey, even my oldest son, yeah, he got to the Lakers. He might have not gone to the Lakers just because of me, but the talent that he has to go to UCLA and be a great player is because of me. You know, I put him in position to, and no, you know, none of us know, you know, how he was with his kids when they were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all throughout all those, you know, adolescent years. Like, we don't know exactly. And I'm sure he put in all this extra work, but, and even the Big Baller Brand, even if Big Baller Brand didn't exist, I mean, the fact that Lonzo is in the NBA, clearly he's making money. So it's not like your family is now struggling. So, and they didn't really even seem like they were struggling even before. But
now you go buy your 16-year-old a red Lamborghini.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, money that they're probably making just because of their social media presence and things like that, too. So, you know, I don't agree with it, but I'm also not here to criticize, I guess. I just don't like the decision you made. That doesn't make you a bad father. That just means that you didn't, I don't feel like you made the right decision
and for your kids. Do you think that he even talks to his kids before he makes that decision, or just something he just blurts out into existence and they just go from there?
Just the by the way he talks and his demeanor, and the way that I've seen him doing interviews, even when before even Lonzo Ball got drafted and stuff. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he just kind of makes his own decision. Now, I'm pretty sure he does seek advice from others as far as like agents and people who have influence like that to be like, hey, I can get your son some money and we can get him playing time now. Why wait till, you know, 3 years?
So do you really think that, though? Why would an agent look at those two prospects and say, hey, I can do this, I can do that? Is it just to get their name out there?
Well, no, because their name is already out there. Their name is, at the end of the day, once Big Baller Brad is out, and they have their own show on Facebook.
I'm talking about as far as the agents. Is it the agent trying to make a name for themselves?
No, but agents don't really care about making a name for themselves. I think agents really care about just making the percentage of what the player ends up making. And in China, you know, especially if he goes plays overseas in Europe or China, like look at, you know, somebody like Stephon Marbury, and there's been some other, you know, NBA players who've gone overseas and been successful. You know, agents are able to kind of sell those examples to LeVar Ball and say, like, look, it's a lot easier. They don't have to be as big and as strong. You know, but they are probably more athletic than the guys that are overseas. So they do have those advantages. And so I think that's a selling point that LeVar Ball takes and sees that, okay, because he still wants to bring him back in the league. It's just we're in this phase right now, like, he's got all the distraction, UCLA. He might not even play the middle, you know, LiAngelo. He might not even play this year. So it's like, if I just take him out now, I can put him overseas and he'll actually still, just being on the court, it's experience. I mean, in life and in sports, whatever you want to call it, experience is the best teacher. So he probably looks at it as, this is the best thing for my son because he can get to keep playing basketball as opposed to sitting on the sidelines, going to practice, having the distraction. Nobody's talking about my son. Now, even if he goes overseas, nobody's going to talk about it, but I might be able to still go on YouTube and watch his highlights.
Now, the thing you said about that going overseas, there have already been teams saying that they don't want him. And I think a lot of that has to do with LeVar.
Absolutely.
He's really hurting his sons by him trying to be the spokesperson for him.
Right.
You let agents take care of that, not you.
Right.
Hopefully he'll learn from that. I hope that they're successful because, hey, he is trying to build a legacy for his kids and not use other people. So I like that. So let's move back. We talked about the MVP. So who do you think is going to be or is currently the rookie of the year?
Well, even though I guess technically he's a rookie, Ben Simmons, I feel like, even though he's in his officially second year, but, you know, since he was out all of the last year, he's still considered. So I think just being kind of like Joel Embiid, being able to sit on the sidelines and just watch and then just really just see, like, picking your poison. And I think he's way better suited for the NBA game than he ever was in college, just because the open space that he has to work with, just the way the game is played right now, he came in at the perfect time. And you can just see he doesn't need to ever shoot a three. I still haven't seen him shoot an actual jumper yet, but he doesn't need to.
That's probably good that he isn't, because he cannot shoot.
He can't. But shooting, if he's only, you know, 20 years old, shooting is something he can pick up and learn. I mean, there's a lot of guys who weren't great jump shooters when they came to the league, but he's got all the other skills. I mean, he's got left-hand floaters, right-hand floaters. He made some ridiculous passes last night, even against the Cavs. I was like, man, this guy, I mean, you know, he's one of those guys I can see in 4 or 5 years. I don't see why there should really be no reason why he probably couldn't average a triple-double multiple seasons and not have to work as hard like Westbrook did last season to get it either. He might not ever average 30. He might even average even 20. He doesn't need to because he can impact the game. And if you're playing with somebody as great as Joel Embiid is, I mean, those guys are like the next, you know, future of the NBA.
As long as Embiid can stay healthy.
Exactly.
So Ben Simmons, who does he remind you of?
A lot of LeBron.
A lot of LeBron.
A lot of LeBron. So, and he's signed to LeBron's agency as well. Well, you know, LeBron knows when he sees something that's special. Before he even got into, even while he was in college, like, oh, he's going to be on our on our camp.
And I just hope that he discovers that he needs to get the jump shot now and don't wait till later on in his career, because he will be unstoppable.
Absolutely. And I think he knows that. And I think he's got, Brett Brown, even though he had Sixers were struggling for a few years, and as they call the process, he's still a really good coach. You know, he comes from the Greg Popovich system, yeah, too. If he develops a jumper, I mean, look at even Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, he first couple of years, like, you know, even now he doesn't really have a jumper yet, but that threat is there.
Yes.
So, and now he's in his fourth year doing that. Ben Simmons is technically only in his first year. So I feel like his growth process, he's probably already ahead of even what the Greek Freak, and the Greek Freak is just turned 23 last week. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
You know, so yeah, Ben Simmons, I think, is definitely, I still got to actually give a shout out to Donovan Mitchell from the Jazz.
Is that the one that went off like 40 the other night?
Yeah, man, he's playing out of his mind. Nobody saw that. As like a throw-in, I would also probably throw in Kyle Kuzma from the Lakers too. He was a steal in the draft. Nobody saw him being, because he played super well in summer league, and you know, just kind of transitioned to the league, and he's perfect also for this generation NBA. Long, can shoot the three. Lonzo Ball needs to be practicing shooting jumpers.
Pretty much. I'm going to go with Ben Simmons as well. I'm not going to lie. When he came to the league, I thought he was going to be a bust. Because most players, if you can lead your team to the tournament in college,
yeah,
then you kind of turn out to be something. And he couldn't do that. And that's why I was like, a lot of people throwing all this hype on him. I didn't see it. I feel stupid now.
Yeah.
And the one thing I don't really like with the NBA, Blake Griffin won the Rookie of the Year. Uh-huh. And he went through the same thing as Ben Simmons.
Got hurt.
But even though you've already technically didn't play, you still have a year of experience. Yep. So it's kind of hard for me to say, yeah, he should be the Rookie of the Year. But since he's in that category, it's Ben Simmons, hands down.
Yes, I agree. He actually has the Rondo syndrome. You know, he can pass and rebound for a guard, but can't really shoot. But the advantage that he has over Rondo is he's, almost seven inches taller than Rondo, and he's way more athletic than Rondo. So it's easier for him to get to his 10 points than it is for Rondo, and he can already pass the ball probably better than Rondo. And obviously he can clearly, because of his height, he can actually rebound the ball better. So I think in about 4 or 5 years, we'll be able to really, really, you know, really gauge where he's at and where his projection is. And he has the talent. And if he gets a jumper, I mean, he can end up being one of the greatest players to ever play, you know, barring any crazy injuries.
Yeah, you know, Philadelphia, they are cursed when it comes to basketball, so you never know how that would end, man.
Yep, I agree.
All right, so it was a big trade that went down last night in the MLB. We had Giancarlo Stanton waving his no-trade clause to go to the Yankees.
Oh, man.
What do you think about that, Serge?
Man, this is Golden State Warriors part two right here. This is Steph Curry and Kevin Durant being on the same team. This baseball is interesting just because of the fact that they don't have a salary cap and how teams can maneuver. And obviously, he kind of had his pickings of what teams he wanted to go to. I just think the irony is that Derek Jeter buys the Marlins.
And then trades the best player to his old team.
Right. And it's like, you can't tell me that there's not some. And now, because he really wanted to, I know his primary choice would have been wanting to go to the Dodgers just because he lives in, Los Angeles.
Do you think it would have been a better fit if he went to the Dodgers compared to the Yankees?
Yeah, I do. I just think that with the lineup that the Dodgers have and their outfield at the way that it's set up, I think that Yasiel Puig is there, but I think you could still maneuver a lot around Stanton and make it work on their team. And I just think the Dodgers being that close, so close to winning, that they probably were just one piece away.
So let me ask you, do you think he was the piece, or did the Dodgers need a pitcher? because Yu Darvish stunk it up in that last game.
He did, and I think regardless if they get Stanton or not, just because there's the salary cap implications is not really affected in baseball. I mean, the Dodgers got money, you know, with Magic Johnson and all the other ownership that they have there, and just being in LA, and now they're actually one of the prominent teams in the league. I think they would have now, because pitchers actually want to go pitch there. The weather, it's LA, they're, you know, a winning team. So it'll be a lot easier to go get a free agent. To sign with them, a free agent that I'm sure the Yankees would look at, the Red Sox would look at, the Giants would always look at. I think somebody would want to go play there knowing that Stanton is also there and the rest of the team that's there with Bellinger and all the other really, really talented guys that they already have on the team. But, man, going to the Yankees, you basically have the two biggest home run hitters on your team.
So you got the judge, and now he can really be the executioner.
Yeah.
So you got the judge and the executioner.
It's like, I mean, you can mix and match your lineup. And the fact that they didn't have to give up, I mean, they gave up one of their starters, Starlin Castro, but, you know, and some other prospects. And the Yankees had, like, I think if I read correctly, they have, like, the number two farm system in all of baseball. So the fact that they didn't even have to give up one of their top prospects is, like, that's why I'm like,
Derek Jeter,
come on, yes. Man! Like, there's got to be, you got to get more for that. I mean, like, I just don't see how you were able to trade, like Chris Paul when he got traded. You know, look at how many players the Rockets had to give up, you know, just to get Chris Paul, one player. So,
but the fact that you brought up Chris Paul, remember, he's supposed to be a Laker.
Yeah,
but they stepped in and said no. So no, why wouldn't somebody in MLB step in and say, no, you can't go to the Yankees? That's ridiculous.
Well, the difference with baseball and basketball is because there's obviously more players and how the game is played, impact is different. And obviously a pitcher who pitches, you know, every 4 or 5 days and obviously in the playoffs every 3 days or whatever. And, you know, there's 9 guys that are, you know, playing and there's only one person batting at one time, you know. So just the way the game is played, I think it's a little different. You can't probably do that. Now, it does, I mean, I know for a fact there's a lot of people in baseball that are definitely upset that, like, how could this, like, actually happen? How could the Yankee? But then again, it's like the rich get richer. And, you know, they're always known to buying championships when Steinbrenner.
Yeah. And I know that we say we're on top of politics, but the politics of sports is just as the same as real life.
Absolutely. All the sideline negotiation, under the table negotiations, that always goes on, because there's got to be some kind of, you know, you scratch my back now, I'll scratch your back later type of situation. So there's probably something down in the works that later on that, you know, Derek Jeter may work something out, you know, and who knows, you know, there's more where this come from, and I think we'll hear about it a lot later.
And speaking of baseball, the no contracts. You have Stanton, who's on a 10-year, $325 million contract.
Yeah.
And what blows my mind is they're saying that Bryce Harper, when he's available, mm-hmm. he's going to be the first $500 million player.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on a $500 million player in any sport, period?
If he gets it next year, I just think, I can't say he doesn't deserve it, because if you're...
I can't.
I mean, the thing is, there's no salary cap, right?
Yeah, I get it. But my thing with that, Serge, to kind of answer my own question, if you're paying that much money, you better have a major effect on the game. Yes. I would give a pitcher that money.
Yes.
Because Bryce Harper, go ahead. You come up to bat. We won't even throw it to you. Now, how effective is that $500 million and your bat to us?
Right, right. Yeah, I just, man, it's a slippery slope to say one is not deserving versus, you know, that person potentially is. I mean, even if he gets $400 million, it's like, man, I'm paying this dude $40 million a season. He plays 8, you know, depending on how far they go into the playoffs, maybe 9 months of a year. He comes up to bat 4 or 5 times a game, and he probably makes 5 or 6 outfield plays, you know, throughout an entire game. So And if he gets hurt, you still got to pay him.
And look, he has a history of getting hurt too, correct?
He does. So that would be my only thing. But on the flip side, hey, if you're willing to pay me $40 million, that's on you. Now,
yeah, I agree.
So as much as it is, like, you can't say that he doesn't deserve it. Like, yeah, because now what it's going to do, it's going to set the precedent for anybody else that comes after him that also is, like, imagine when Aaron Judge is about to be a free agent, how much money he's going to garner.
Yeah, so you have those two guys together. They're going to break the bank. And then they were saying that Bryce Harper would eventually go to the Yankees too.
Yeah.
So can you imagine that?
If that happens, I think there's going to be a boycott.
It has to be. That's just too much talent and too much money going to one team. Now, we know the Yankees are the evil empire, but, I mean, they're not doing anything against the rules.
No, they're not. So, exactly. So maybe this sets the precedent for them to know that we need to start setting some standards and boundaries, because we can't let it become – because the way the money is revolving right now, it's just – I mean, because eventually, if it's not the Yankees, the Dodgers will do this. The San Francisco Giants will do this because, yeah, they might not spend a lot of money, you know, from an outside. They're not the sexy team. They're not the team that you always talk about, but – somehow, way or another, they're always in contention. All the years that they win, you never really think that they have a chance at the beginning of the season. But by the end of the season, somehow, way or another, they're always there. So if it's not them, it's somebody else. Like even the Cubs, now that they're actually relevant, you know, the value of their franchise has gone up like crazy. Well, now that means they have money to also spend. So they got to put some kind of rules in effect like the NFL has and the NBA has. Keep it more controlled so that it's a – way better level playing field for everybody else to compete.
Well, speaking of money, we're going to talk about a guy that he doesn't have any problems financially, and that's the return of Tiger Woods.
Yes.
Serge, so do you think with Tiger Woods returning, is that good for golf?
Absolutely. I'm not an avid golf fan, but I did used to watch a lot more golf when Tiger Woods was playing. Now you have a lot of other great players like Jordan Spieth, obviously here from Dallas, Ricky Fowler, Jason Day. You got a lot of great golfers. So unless you're diehard golf fans, which I have some friends that are, you know, super hardcore golf fans who do pay attention regardless of Tiger Woods is playing or not. But I know you're Joe Schmo, a golf fan who turns it on here and there. Like just the fact that he came back and he was actually playing better than he has in a long time. You know, even I was intrigued to see that, like, hey, let me go and see what he's doing on the 16th hole or whatever. And so, yeah, I think it's great. I think more so than just being playing golf, I think it's also potentially down the line being able to give that kind of redemption story. And I think just being able to look like, look, he never gave up. Yeah, he battled through knee injury, back injury, obviously all the other stuff with, you know, his outside the game activities that he was having that, you know, kind of ruined his career and his reputation. But I think there's a way that, you know, if he can somehow stay the course, you know, it doesn't have to be in the, you know, a big major championship. It's just the fact that he just needs to get a win under his belt. And I think he's more than capable of doing that.
And you mentioned redemption. Yeah, so. Do you think this is a redemption story that people really want to see?
I think so. I think they'll appreciate it if it actually happens. I don't think right now it's kind of hard to say because, like, oh, we've seen this movie before. He's trying to make comebacks. He's trying to do this. But I think once it actually happens, then you'll want to – I feel like as human beings, like, you shouldn't really ever try to root for anybody to fail. So, you know, yeah, he's made mistakes, but I think he's trying to, you know, get better at something. Golf is his, you know, escape. You know, golf is what lets him be him, you know, is what made him who he is today. So he's not going to just go away from him. He could easily just quit and retire and be done with it. He ain't struggling for no money, but yeah, he still wants to do it, not just to make money, because he wants to, I'm sure, yeah, he wants to prove others, but I think, you know, he wants to really prove himself to make sure that, hey, look, I can play, I can compete, I can play at the highest level like what I once used to. And if this is what got me to where I am today, and I want to respect the game and give it back, I'm not going to just quit on it either.
And the reason I ask you that, in wake of all the things that's going on right now with all these sexual assaults, the sexual harassments, even though mm-hmm. that wasn't his case, it was just, right. He was just getting in everywhere, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. How would that play a factor into people not really caring about Tiger Woods, just with all the things sexually that's going
mm-hmm.
on?
Mm-hmm. I think even though that's a part of his story, if I can make a comparison to Kobe Bryant, I think Kobe Bryant obviously had his Colorado story back in the early 2000s. But as the years go on and you see him on the court and he's dropping 81 on the Raptors and he's winning championship with the Lakers without Shaq, and you just see his greatness, it's like that shadow that was kind of overlooming his career with the whole Colorado thing kind of just kept dwindling away and kept going away. Now, when he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. So, like, at the Hall of Fame, is anybody ever going to bring up like that? You know, or are people going to be like, oh, he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame because he had that? No, because he was that great. So I think the same thing with him, because we're a few years removed, and obviously, you know, if he keeps playing, he plays like 4, 5, 6, 8 more years, and he wins a couple of majors and things like that. I think the farther we go away from it, the better opportunity that he has. And as long as he doesn't put himself in a position to make those same mistakes again, I think it's very much a story that people will less and less remember him for that, you know, period of time in his life, and really just kind of focus on, man, he used to be great, then he fell off, then he actually came back to being still above average.
So will he win another major? Over or under?
Man,
do you think he went over 2 majors?
I think he'll win one. I think he'll win one in the next 3 to 4 years.
So how far off is he for the record? Wasn't it like 14 or what was it?
He's off by like 4 or 5.
So you don't think he'll get that?
No, I don't think he'll get that.
A healthy Tiger, if he's fully healthy and committed to golf, you don't think he'll get that?
I don't want to say no just because of the commitment. I just think that there's also so many other great golfers, and not playing golf myself, but I can just tell by viewing the game and understanding how it works and having friends who play it. It's very mental. You're out there by yourself. So, you know, all it takes is one left wide turn, one right turn, that all it takes. And, you know, so I just think with the amount of golfers who watched him when he was in his prime, dedicated their own life to golf, there's so many better golfers now than there was when Tiger was like at his peak. So now you have a pool of, say, you know, 6 to 10 great golfers, as opposed to when he played, maybe there was only 3 or 4 great golfers. So I think the competition is what might stop it from winning those majors, not necessarily him not playing well.
Well, you may not know this about me, Serge, but I am the Tiger Woods of putt-putt golf. And since okay. I can compare myself to Tiger, I'm going to go, even though I don't really believe this, I think he's going to win more than 1 or 2 majors. I think he's actually going to contest at, 14? Is it 14?
No, I think he has 14.
He has 14.
I think the record is 19.
19.
Yeah.
Never mind. He's not going to get that.
It's hard.
It's hard to say. If he's healthy and committed.
If he does it, I will be the first guy to stand up and clap for him because he earned it.
That'd probably be the best comeback story in sports.
Oh, yeah.
From him getting whooped with a golf club to all the injuries and just wait. I hope he can do it because
I do too.
I mean, I'm not a golf fan.
I pray that it does.
Yeah, but when he did play, I would pay attention. All right, so we're going to move on to some NFL picks. Since a guy that moved to Texas and he's rooting for the Colts, we're going to talk about the Colts versus Buffalo Bills. What you got for us, Serge?
I actually, this is weird coming from an actual Colts fan. I actually don't want the Colts to win.
Draft pick,
of course, because it's like winning for us now is it makes no difference. We're already out of the playoff contention, so it's like, what's the point? So I'd rather be having, you know, give our franchise the best opportunity to be a top 2, top 3 pick and hopefully get a running back. But I actually do think the Colts are actually going to win, even though I don't want them to. I actually do think the Colts will actually win and beat the Bills because they've also been struggling a lot, and they can't even score the ball. And Colts are actually, you know, we're actually playing really good defense over the last few weeks too. So,
and I agree with you that the Colts are going to win because I don't think Tyrod Taylor is playing. I think they're playing a different quarterback. I could be mistaken.
Yeah,
just the way the things that went down with him. I'm not a Colts fan, but I'm gonna roll with you on this one.
Yep.
Now, the most important game of the day, of course, would be the Cowboys versus the Giants.
Important? Yeah, I guess. that's what you want.
Serge, don't do me like that.
Right. We're so, in Dallas, so I'll give you
that. Okay, so who do you think is going to win this game?
Who do I think is going to win is also the team I think should win and better win is the Cowboys.
Why is that? Why should they win?
Why should they win?
Yes.
I just think that they have, outside of Zeke, they still have more healthy starters on the field and better talent on the field. So that alone should allow them to, and they actually already beat them once in week one when the Giants did have most of their main guys on the field. So the fact that they pretty much have no Beckham, no Marshall, no Shepherd even this week, and I think even the running back is actually questionable to play, Darkwa.
Yeah.
So I just feel like now their defense is still pretty stout, but you know, now Eli meaning being out for a week, not coming back to start a week, you know, now there's a new coach. I just, you know, and Cowboys have something to play for. So I think that alone should drive them. And if they continue to just kind of play like they did last week, run the ball, doesn't matter if Zeke is in the backfield or not, just feed whoever is your running back. You've got that offensive line, you better use it. And, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I'm sure it's going to be really cold up there, but I think, you know, the Cowboys should pull one out, probably like, I don't know, 20-17.
I agree with everything you said. Cowboys should win this game. We have more talent, but we got Jason Garrett as a head coach. So that's always a wild X factor. And then you got Eli coming back after being benched. So he has something to prove, too.
Sure.
With that said, I'm going to predict the score. It's going to be the Cowboys 72, the Giants a negative 3. That's what I'm going with.
All right.
Cowboys should get 72 points. We're going to move on to the next one, Seattle versus Jacksonville.
I think Seattle will win, but I'm not really confident in picking that just because the Jaguars always seem to surprise everybody. I don't know how they pull off some of these wins that they've had during the season with Blake Bortles. Like, I mean, sometimes he makes miraculous plays. And they have Leonard Fournette, obviously a great, great rookie running back. And their defense is what really obviously helps them stay in games. I'm still just going to go with Seattle just because I still believe Russell Wilson, he's been playing out of his mind this year. They don't really even have a running game. And their defense, even though the Legion of Boom is really not, you know, they're pretty much out, you know, hurt and out for the season. I just think that the way they're coached by Pete Carroll, they're, you know, still solid and will come out.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to go Jacksonville because I like what they're doing. I like their run game and I like their defense. As long as Blake Bortles doesn't turn the ball over, you don't have Seattle.
That's a big if.
Yeah, that's a big if. But like you said, the Legion of Boom, they don't have them.
Right.
So they should be able to exploit that. I'm going Jacksonville. We got the Packers versus the Browns. Who do you have?
I got the Packers. I got the Packers in this just because – I just don't see how the Packers could be the team that ends up losing to the Browns and getting their first victory of the season. And they actually still also do have something to play for, because if they win and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is supposed to come back next week and he can play the last 3 weeks, and if they,
it's going to be a problem for everybody.
If they win all their games and end up 10-6, I mean, they still have a mathematically, you know, chance to make one of the wild card spots. So I just think just because of that alone, the game I know is in Cleveland, but I do think that the Packers will pull it out. It won't be a high scoring game at all. No. It might be like, 12-9 or some crazy, ridiculous score like that.
This is a real easy one for me. When you think of the Cleveland Browns, the only way they are ever going to make a Super Bowl is when somebody goes to the restroom and they drop a deuce. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
I'm helping the Browns go to the Super Bowl. So that's about the only way. So the Packers, they should dominate the Cleveland Browns. I don't care who's the quarterback.
1-28 in the last 2 years.
That's ridiculous. Philly versus the Rams. Who do you got?
This one is a tough one.
You know, I'll go first. I'll let you. I need the Rams to win.
Yes.
I need the Rams to win to, you know, slow the Philadelphia Eagles down for us so we can try to get back in it. With that said, Carson Wentz, he's been playing on another level.
Yep.
With Ajay, Blunt, that run game, the receivers they have, their defense. This is probably one of the toughest ones to pick.
Yep.
But I'm going to go, not with my heart.
Yeah. With your head.
I'm going to go with my head. I'm going to say Philly's going to win this one.
I'm actually going to go the other way. As much as they've been playing really well, I know they lost last week to Seattle, Philly did, but I think the Rams, they are playing at home. I think just the fact that the way they've been playing, you know, they got Todd Gurley, Jared Goff has been playing really well throughout the season, which I don't think anybody really saw coming. The Rams have a really good defense as well, just like the Eagles do. I think it'll also be a nip-and-tuck close game, but I'm just going to go with the home team just because of that. If it wasn't Philly, I would have probably picked Philly, but I think just the fact that it's in L.A., I'm just going to go right out the home team, and they're both equally matched. I think it'll be a close game. I want to say like 27-24 Rams.
Okay, so we're going to do these real quick. We got Baltimore versus Steelers. Who you got?
Steelers.
Pats versus Dolphins.
Pats. Easy.
Vikings versus Panthers.
Vikings.
I got to go there. That's from my boy Reggie. He's like Reggie and Rob. Yeah. The only two Viking fans I know. So, sir, do you want to give everybody our social media handles?
Yeah. If everybody wants to, you know, keep tuning into our, you know, weekly podcast, you know, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All the pages are at Sports Life Talk. We'll also have our audio up after each and every episode up on our SoundCloud page, which is soundcloud.com/sportslifetalk as well. So yeah, we just want to get more and more people to, you know, listen to our podcast. And if anybody has any comments, questions, topics of discussion or anything like that, you know, just hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we'll try to get it onto our show.
All right. We want to thank Anthony Roberts of Roberts Media Group for having us a part of their brand, and Blog Talk Radio for giving us a platform to do this podcast. We want to thank you for listening to episode 1 of Sports Life Talk. We'll see you next time, and remember, life without sports is just talk. Have a good one.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah.